Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a place to thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come before you tonight, be back on the radio station, the KESK radio station. And then, Father, because we know that all things are working together, we thank you for this night. We praise you for it, and we love you for it. Tonight, Father, we just look behold before you, Father, and we thank you. Thank you, Father. We love you, and we adore you, and we magnify you. It's just clear, Father, that you're the only true and living God, and besides you, there is none other. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Tonight, I want to go back again and talk about hope. Not hype. Amen. That means there is a lot of things that are going on around the world that we now live into. And when we find out something, we see what God is saying to us more than anything else in the world. So I would like for us to go through, look at some of the things that when John wrote, John, the apostle of God, he wrote two big chapters. He wrote 1 John, he wrote 2 John, and he wrote 3 John. And so I like to kind of look at both of these scriptures that I see. He's talking to the walking with his left children, walking in the truth, warning, admonition, false teaching. He does the same thing. He says God will supply of joy. And so I want to run through the scripture right quick and just point out something. He says, the elder unto the elect and her children. Is he talking about the title of an apostle? He's talking about this lady. She was 90 years old. My God Almighty, ain't this something? And when God, we look at something, the lady of whom most excellent, honorable woman, to whom John addresses the epistle, she likely had a church in her home. See, we don't believe in having churches in our home no more. But when John wrote this, it was 80 years, and said, to the lady has a church in her home. So, and something else happened. He said, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Which he talks about, see, and he says, his commandment, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be ever given to us. See, as long as we know we are sons of God, we've been chosen by God to do a great work. And by God choosing us to do a great work, God allows us to do some things. When we look at what God is seeing, now I want you to understand something. When we look at the word, this was a chosen, excellent, preeminent woman of God. The word K-U-R-O-S in Hebrew, Phenomen of Kuros. Lord, therefore, if any may signify lady, who more excellent and honorable woman, John puts a point out to her to speak to the women. And I tell somebody, I said, the reason why a lot of people don't understand the hope that a woman has, they want to make it a hype. That's not what God is doing. God wants us to keep moving. And when I look at it says in verse 3, it says, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father in truth and love. Now, if you notice, when you see John's letters and see the Apostle Paul writing, for the Apostle Paul used the same word, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, the Son of the Father in love, in truth and in love. So he puts a little more emphasis on what he's doing. But when I see what God is doing through this great John, this great apostle, he writes, having to write stuff. This woman was married. She had her children. He saluted her. and told her, I said, look, woman, you're the kind of woman that most men, he said, no husband. See, now when you look around, who is she married to? Sometimes the script is silent on something. We notice in our teaching of the Bible, most women in the Old Testament under the Jewish law, their names were not mentioned because the men didn't want them to outshine them. Oh, God, ooh, yep. That's right. But all of a sudden, she entertained many ministers and ministers. They were traveling evangelists. Back in the day, I remember sometime when there were men coming around, a young man come from my house, going different places, because we didn't have the kind of money to put him in a hotel. We had a room at my house set aside for them to do God's work. Now, a lot of people say, that's wrong. That's not wrong. I say, I love the Lord with all my heart. And see, when you have a Christian love and do so, you love the truth. I love the truth. My house got a blessing by that man and woman of God being in my house. See, a lot of black folks, a lot of white folks, a lot of rich folks, yellow folks, can need to look beyond the scope of the vision of the man on the earth and look what God is doing in the spiritual world. And so what God is doing in the spiritual world, he says these words, my God. And verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I walk of thy, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found, my children. He's talking to the woman, and everybody's coming up. They spoke in the positive, the first order. I rejoice, as sometime with Sister Reverend A. Royal, Prince of Love. I'm just so happy to know that I've been chosen. I'm just so happy to know that I've been chosen to do what I'm doing. And he says here, see, the doctrine that we teach, they're eternal. But there are a lot of people that want to hear what God has said. He said, and receive commandments from the Father. See, when we receive commandments from God, God allows us to keep his command. He's saying, do something, do it speedily, do it consistently. Do what you have to do. God will make it so. See, here's what he said. He said, he wants us to understand. He said, now listen here. In verse 5, he says, excuse me. See, when we look at from the both the Father, when we look from the Father and the Son, and there is a doctrine that some people kind of look at, but they have to understand, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word, and we read the Bible to understand in Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 1, we find the omni of God's presence. God is always present. God has a lot to tell us. He's always present. He's always knowing. So how are we going to get around him? So the men of God, these great apostles, they're not like we see apostles today. These men stepped out on faith, and they did something. They could step out there to do what God called them to do. Now, here's an expression. It emphasized this that's made known. Here's in verse 5. And now I beseech you, I'm calling to you to understand, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have heard from the beginning. The same thing he puts in his first letter to what he wrote. He wrote three different letters to this lady. But because he has such great love, now the question I have, could it have been his sister? Could it have been his cousin? See, we have to look beyond what we see. But God has a way of putting it down in the scripture. He says, but that which I have from the beginning, that we love one another. He was speaking again. When he looked at all of the scriptures, it's full of love. Why men can't love the women as they love the men when it comes down to the gospel? They want to run their ship, get the woman off the ship. She's not doing what to say. And it just looks at what is happening. Now, let me show you something else what I found. Oh, Jesus. The incarnation, the birth, and the birth of Jesus Christ is from the very foundation. We look at what Christianity. This is John, the writer, particularly emphasizing all his writing. He used the word love at least 62 times in his scripture to tell people something, tell us. Compared to it's 167 times written in what he wrote the word. See, is this the same John? I believe it is the same John. Let me show you something. The Apostle John, oh my God, he walks in. I want believers, and I say this as I come on this blog talk with you. I believe in believers. I don't believe in a whole lot of this, that, and other. I just believe, and I'm gonna stay close to the scripture. Here's what I want you to know. He says in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you walk in it. Now, he emphasized from the verses in 1 John, the third chapter, the fourth verse, and third verse, he puts out this. He said, we have heard from the beginning. We should walk in it. Now, we have to walk in love every day of our life. Many times some things that are happening that we're trying to get together and find out. But what God is doing for us in this hour, he says, now he's warning us against deceiving, warning us that there's an Antichrist coming along now. For many, listen to him, many deceivers. And he puts us the word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. My God, that's good, Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 8. Let's go there right quick. Go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 8. Somebody say, you should have your lesson. Yes, I do. 2 Corinthians 6 and 8. 2 Corinthians 6 and 8. When we look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 8, God has a way of speaking. 6 and 8. I love you, Father. By honor and dishonor, by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers and yet true. Now, look at what, praise God. I look at what God is saying. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfriended, by the word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor. And what God is saying, he said, but in all these things, I'm approving ourselves as a minister of God. We got to be patient. We got to be patient. When I see the word, what God is saying, and see, he's been blessing me to understand some of this stuff. I've been reading, I said, oh my God. See, God is so good. When you think you don't, see, I don't know a thing. I'm still trying to learn. Oh, Jesus, I am. Now, I want to take a little further up into the word and verse and see that C part, B part of it, who and John. And I'm looking at that letter that John wrote, the second one. And I try to finish it up tonight because it's only 12, 13 verses, but it's so power-packed with words. He said, that's a seducing spirit. That's a deceiving spirit. See, and that seducing spirit is always coming to deny the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And we got some people today that say they don't care about Jesus Christ. But when you take the word, just I went to 2 Corinthians, put the word out. Here's why they are. And we have to pinpoint them with the word. And by us pinpointing with the word, it let us know that the devil is nothing but a liar. Now, when I read again, who confesses that not that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh? He warns them in John 1, John 2, John 3. He warned. He said, you got to beware. He's consistently warning us. Why? Because we're not living in a time right now. Well, we had a man say, well, I'm willing to go now, point blank. He said, I'm willing to give Russia to take a look at taking some of the sanction of her. You liar. Ain't no love in your heart because you've been willing to do that anyway. You just trying to get yourself on what's going to happen to you. Too late. You just stepped in that big hug. But listen, He's a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, when we look at the word an antichrist is a demon, a fallen angel. He has no understanding about what Jesus has done for mankind. He comes in and try to anti. He takes the truth and not make it whole. He takes the reality and not make it whole. He's always putting half truth, half what he wants to say, and what he wants to say. Did not God say when he spoke to the woman? Did not God say? No, he spoke to the man. He came with a half truth. See, the hope was for the woman saying, I'm going to stay with my man. And the devil made it a hype. Did not go see now. You know, you can have this, what they say they have. He hyped the woman's mind. If I may use that terminology. Hyped her mind to see, you can do what I say you can do. But all of a sudden, something began to happen. Here's what this Christ is saying. This antichrist. He said, look to yourselves, huh? Look to yourself that we lose not those things which were have wrought, but that we receive in full reward. Oh my God, in full reward. God says to the Christian, I'm warning y'all to tell y'all their conditions. There are conditions here. Our Lord, I'm gonna go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to verse 11. Give me a moment, this is so good sometimes. Well, somebody say, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, now here's what I like about it. He says, and now I, brother, could not speak unto you such as spiritual, but as carnal, even to the babes in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with meat. And heretofore, you were not able to bear it, to keep it. He said, here's what it is, says here. He said, for you are yet come. But let me move on down to verse 11. He says, for other foundations can no man lay, which is laid by Jesus Christ. My God Almighty. I can't. Ooh, wee. My God. It's something else. Oh, this for other foundation can no man lay than the is laid, which is Jesus. So everybody say on the foundation, we got it on our foundation scripture. Well, Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, George, Lord Jesus. He said, now what I like to say, this is Masonic talk here, because I was amazing before I left. I found out what they're doing, I have to leave them alone. He said, if any man builds upon other foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, by every man work shall be made manifest for the day because it shall receive. Oh, that's why he got me to get out. I thought being a mason, I had great work. I knew how to work my square, my triangle. I knew I threw my passing the word and reading the word. But that was not of God. It was of God back in the day when they loved each other. They had a word that they would speak. They knew signs. They knew how. But now we take it and we use it as a joke. We don't take the word of God because we're not. See, people say, well, we're living in some good times. No, we're not. We're living in some hellish times. When I say hellish, why we still got men going around killing his family? Why? Why we are not standing up as believers? Why the man and woman? Why? Don't you think God is asking the same question? My people that are called by my name. When we go back and read the Old Testament, now that we've been saved, we're in the body of Christ, we are the same lineage of the Jews. He said, but if my people that are called by my name, if we humble ourselves, I ain't doing that. We're just going to act like the Jews, but not the Jews. I know I'm in that family now. I'm a little bit more than anybody. I don't think I want to be a part of what y'all are doing right now. But here's what the Bible keeps telling us. He says he would, my God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. My God. The doctrine, not my doctrine. I'm not building on my foundation, but I'm building on the foundation laid by Jesus Christ. And verse 10, it says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, let's stop right there. How many different doctrines have we heard out there, Willie Hunter? Well, I've heard about 14 different types of doctrine. I'm of the church of this, and I can point it out to you in the Bible. I'm in the Church of Christ, I'm in the Church of God in Christ, I'm in the Church standing by the lane. I'm in the Church standing by Here We Come. I'm in the Crosswind Church. But it's a doctrine that they're trying to profound, but they're not doing. When you see what the Jews have done, they kept it one word, shalom, peace, joy. They got one word, but they don't go all the different names we get. But when you find the fullness of what God is doing, some folk want to beat you up. Man, time sort of gets away from you. You know that? That's all right, love, but I love you. Jesus. I want to just say one more thing, if the Lord. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partake. If you get your whistle blowing now, you know something, what he's saying here. He said, now, oh my God, if I say, peace be with you, I'm a part of your evil deed. What? That's what the Bible says here. Help me, somebody. Yeah, that's what it says.
Amen. Amen.
That's what God
Amen.
Said. And so we have to, and I was asking, a prince today about some things we were talking about today. And the devil is a big liar. He's a liar. See, a lot of things we try to come into and understand what God is saying to us, it behooves us to take what God is saying. And I will say to anybody, verse 11, when you read that book of John, 1st, 2nd John, 2nd letter of John, chapter 1, verse 11, it tells you, if you're going to say your brother's he's a homosexual, he brings a lot of his friends to his house, you beat him on, you're a partaker of evil deeds. A lesbian, a dope dealer. Oh, my God. You mean, yes, that's why the life we live is so different. Approach is so different. You mean I got to put everything, yes, I do. She got to put everything, she got to put God above me, my wife. My son, my daughter got to put God above me. Because I'm nothing but a piece of flesh walking in earth. When I get to home to be with my Lord, I know where I'll be standing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. When I take note of what God is saying, God speaks clearly to us. For having many things, he said, I know that when I get with Sister A. Royal, I know there are many things she likes to say, and sometimes she had to shut her own mouth down because the knowledge began to flow out of it. What you say, hon? I just said it. Oh, man, you shouldn't say that. Yes, I did. I'm never going to put a person there that knows something. I'm not going to pick a person that don't know something. I will show them how to get to know something. Because sometimes a lot of people know something, don't want to know, but this is what they want to know. They don't want to know the truth that we're talking about. And that's why we have such a great war going on. See, the crisis is not the fellowship. But he's talking about the elect lady. And so tonight I'm talking about these women. They're right here in the Bible. Men won't talk about that. Wonder why. One man told me, yeah, like you're funny. I said, oh, no, brother, you weren't funny, got it. You the one wearing some blues. I'm sorry. Because I know what I want. See, what it's not that I'm afraid of. the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are witnesses. This woman got to him. Why she can't do what I do? Why she can't lay hands on the devil and kick him out? Well, because that's a man's job. No, God didn't say that. Whosoever believes, whosoever, whatsoever. See, John Osteen lives in the earth when he taught about that profusely. Are you a whosoever, whatsoever? Now, you have to make a decision upon yourself. You have to make that decision upon yourself. But I want to finish with this because I don't come next Monday. I want to finish that part out. Oh, my God. Children, but I trust to come to you and speak you face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of the elect sister, he don't call her name. And somebody said, I wonder why. Because God, as I said earlier, they didn't make mention, but they gave us many options to take a look at, many things they could look at. But he put a warning. How to deceive, how we're being deceived. And that woman knows when a man is lying. A woman knows when a man is stealing. A woman knows when he's committing adultery. A woman knows because she knows something. A man knows something. But he kept telling us, don't put the woman aside. I found the woman. Now, when I had the meeting and I got them to put them on Facebook, oh my God, what they see is going to blow. It's going to not blow their mind, but it's going to bless them. The women praising God. Who was there when Jesus was in the grave? The woman was there praying and calling on. Who was there when Peter, the woman there praying? Who was there? They were there. Why the women? I don't know why the women, but God knows. He won't, it's a mystery. And some things God, man, I got 2 minutes left. I want to stop right now and thank God for everything he's given me today to give me to understand some things. And the more I read God and more I understand what God's saying, God has brought us to a position as an apostle, as a teacher, as an evangelist, as a pastor, as the fivefold ministry. This and me have been revolved by the word of God. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's through when he was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, he rose. He was a partaker of this evil deeds. And we will be punished with him for the same sins if we don't repent of him. And the more we get closer to God, somebody said, well, you know what you got going on? No, it ain't about me, it's about God. It ain't about me, it's about God. The video said, ain't about me, it's about God. If I want to make it about me, I could charge them a ton of money and be a rich man. But riches does not inflict me. It doesn't. What I want to do is the riches of love, riches of peace, and joy. And see, one thing I do know is there are a lot of false teachers. And they did, well, we got, and someone there, you have to be whatever. Man, I love you. My time is up. I'm not going. My time is up. And tonight I want to thank God for listening, giving me the opportunity. But tonight there's a beloved sister that I thank God for, been known her for 2 years, 4 years. No, that's another thing. Ain't your business. But I want to introduce you to Reverend A. Royal, Prince of Love. Prince of Love, are you there?
Yes, I am. Praise God. And I have enjoyed you coming from first. Was that first, John? I came in
705.
Second John. And the very next verse that you was reading is talking about being aware of false teachers and stuff. But in any case, I've enjoyed you tonight, and you know we go back over 40 years, almost 40 years.
I got to give you a quarter. Now. I got to give you a quarter.
We've been running for Jesus for a long time, and we ain't tired yet. We thank God for the Word of God. We thank God for His Holy Spirit. I do thank God for you and your faithfulness and your urgency about proclaiming the name and the love of Jesus Christ. And you know, I know you get a lot of complaints about me because I am very frank and frank with the word. So tonight I want to just share with everybody what I really believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life. I believe that no man.
Amen.
El Shaddai, the Most High God, the only wise God, no man can come to him without Jesus Christ, without coming through Jesus Christ. I believe the word that you just came out of in 1 John say, any man who have not Christ have not God. I believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I believe that he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, which is God. And he came to operate in the name of Jesus. He will not operate in his own name. The word of God tells us plainly. But in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves. So I believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I believe that I have passed from death unto life. I believe that I've been regenerated, reborn again. I've been saved. I am filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And that now the living God lives inside of me. And that this here flesh is just a very temple that's holding the Spirit of God inside. I have a body. I have a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul. But I am going to live forever. I'm going to leave the body. I'm going to leave the Bible says all souls are his. This is in Ecclesiastes. So we know that this temple is temporary, is going back to dust. Whether you get cremated or whether you get buried 6 feet below, you're going to turn to dust one way or the other. Now, the only escape for that is in Thessalonians, where you can be caught up in the sky to meet Christ in the air. That in that transition, according to 1 Corinthians 15, you will lose this temple. And your spirit will unite with Christ up in the sky. I tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ has given us everything that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us the power to tread against serpents, to bind whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And I know that we have authority and power to tell our enemies and to tell that devil to go. And he will. That's what the word of God say. Let me make it very clear and very plain. I believe absolutely, unequivocally in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that God is everything. I believe that he is. And you know, we find that in this day and age, everybody's got all these, like you say, false doctrines. Let me share with y'all. I believe in the account in Genesis. I believe in the account that God saved the world, 8 souls out of the world. Noah, his 3 sons, and Noah's wife. And they, the 3 sons' wife. The Bible say 8 souls. I believe that. I believe that God flooded the whole earth. I believe that he, when he flooded the whole world and had Noah build that ark for 120 years. I believe that because some of the garbage that they're teaching now points to the fact that they don't believe that eight souls. They say the world is 10 zillion years old, and it possibly is because God, with God, time is of no essence. But however, to just say that man, just to put God in a box, mm-hmm. I will not do it. But I believe that what God said when he said he built man, he built Adam, and he took us from the side of a woman from the side of Adam, and then he had Adam name all the beasts and everything. He gave Adam that right. I believe all of that. I don't doubt one iota of it. I don't doubt my God. Then I believe that he took Abraham, and who was a Gentile, who was a nothing, and then he made him something because he took and made him a nation, made the Israel, the nation of Israel.
Israel.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I believe Hallelujah. The word of God with every ounce of my being. I am a living testimony. I am a living epistle. I have been read of men, and I've been walking this way. I ain't been always faithful, and I ain't been always good, because my goodness and my faithfulness is not what's going to take me to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I've been made the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been bought with a price. I've been purchased with the blood, washed in the blood. I have been filled with his love. I am going to heaven because all my past, present, and future sins have been forgiven. And I love the Lord, and because he first loved me. And that is who and what pinch. And I believe in all the names of God. I believe that we must honor, raise, and exalt the name of God at all times. I believe that God must always receive the praise, the glory, and the magnifying that he surely deserves. I believe this because in Revelation it tells us that the angels around the throne of God 24/7 praising my God. And I believe that I have only spent 72 years here on this earth, and I have praised God in these 2 years. I know God is going to get me for some of that lack of praise that I haven't done. But I know that because he loves me, he has given me and Dr. Hunter and others, all of you who he has emboldened himself in, he has given us power to overcome. And the way to overcome is to meditate on the word of God. The way to overcome is to renew our minds constantly in Christ. The way to have the victory is to believe without seeing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask and think. Oh, glory to God. I can't tell you enough of what I believe. But I'm here to tell you that God is everything, and there is nothing. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 1, I've read it to y'all many times. All things was created by him, for him, mm-hmm. and through him, and without him, there was nothing created. I believe that we need to get these things straight up front and out front for the world. I want you to know that those of us who have the Holy Ghost and have been born again and have tasted and seen that the Lord God is good, that the Lord God is good. He's good to the good, and he's good to the bad, and he's good to the indifferent, and he's good to the ugly. God is good, and ain't nothing you can say to change that. And he gonna be good till he starts his judgment. But oh, don't you worry. Judgment is coming. The word of God teaches us the judgment is coming. Oh, my God, my God. He's going to withdraw his grace. And then they say the rocks, they're going to beg the rocks to fall on them. Oh, rocks, kill us, kill us, kill us, rocks. Mm. But there won't be no death found. That's what the word of God says.
Amen.
I believe the word of God is everything. I'm nothing, was never nothing, could be nothing. I wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for the word of God. I'm here to tell you, his love for me goes beyond my wildest imagination. His mercy and his grace and his long suffering that he poured out on us. Do y'all realize how much the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and long suffering, gentleness, meekness, and kindness, and long suffering? Do you realize those are the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5? But let me tell you another little secret. Those are also the characteristics of the Lord and Savior himself. Do you realize how long suffering he's been? Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, what a God. What a God. Woo! This here God we serve is awesome, 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 awesome. Woo! Holy, holy, holy. The angels around the throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Woo! My soul can't stop thanking him, thanking him, thanking him, thanking him. Oh, I know the word of God say we honor. I try to be very careful because it say we honor him with our mouths, but our heart be far from him. Oh, Lord, make our heart match our honoring with our mouth. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we need you, Lord, and like we never needed you before. This time and season we're in is desperate, Lord. We're going home by the minute. So I want to urge you. My hunger and thirst for you is to be ready. Be ye ready when the Lord calls your number. Be ye ready when the Lord comes through the sky. Don't be like the foolish and the five virgins. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Don't listen to the lies that the devil tell you. Don't believe him. Know the word of God for yourself. Study to show yourself approved. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord, your neighbor, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Amen.
Love him as you love yourself. All
Amen.
Of these things are easy to say and hard to do. I'm here to tell you, God didn't say they was going to be easy. There's nowhere. Only thing he mentioned easy, he said, my yoke.
My yoke.
He didn't
say
my commandments was easy. He said my yoke is easy. He didn't tell us that it would be easy to love your enemy. He didn't tell us it would be easy to turn the cheek, the other cheek when they smack you. He didn't tell you when they say all manner of lies on you that it was going to be easy. But I tell you, with the hope, if we submit, yield, surrender our bodies, our mind, our heart to the Lord, we can do it. You can do it. Let me tell you a little secret to victory, everybody. One of the greatest things I have learned about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that he knows how to take care of his business.
Yes.
He ain't running around confused, dizzy, misunderstood. He know how to take care of that which belongs to him. And he can take care of our enemies better than we could ever take care of. I can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a living testimony of that. I had an abusive husband who used to beat me, who used to do me all, who was a whore, who did all kind of things. Oh, in my flesh, in my body, in my desire, I wanted to kill him, but I didn't. I told God in prayer. I said, Lord, you know that I wanted to get rid of this man before I got the Holy Ghost. But because I done got the Holy Ghost and I'm with him, I know you can take care of him better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
God told, and God, I don't know what God told the man. Because I told God if he hit me again, I didn't tell the man, I didn't threaten him, but I told it to God in prayer. I said, Lord, if he hit me again, I'm going to kill him. So God went and told him he never hit me again. I'm telling you, I'm confident and assured that God can take care of our children, our enemies, our loved ones better than we can. We don't have to think of vengeance against these people. God, just the word is right. Pray for them and have confidence. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. God is able to do abundantly, abundantly. And don't never forget St. John 14. All that the Father has given me, I shall in no wise lose any. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. I believe him. You've got to actually believe what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't doubt him for 1 minute. It can look kind of dim, and the devil can talk to you in your ear. The devil's job. You got one. You know, that's why I say know the adversary. You got to understand the character of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says know the adversary, because once you know the adversary, you know it's his job to come and lie to you. You got a pain in your body. He tell you that's cancer. You got your money looking kind of funny. He tell you God done left. He tell those are, he got, we don't know how many thousands of demons he got, but they are his demons coming to talk. They come to try and torment you, scare you. Don't be. That's why the word of God say, fear nothing but God. Fear nothing but God, because it's a waste of time to fear man. It's a waste of energy to fear anything on this earth. God is greater than anything on this earth. Don't fear even what you can see. Of what you can't see. Fear only God. Surrender everything to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, the Most High. I tell you, when you do that, you can't do nothing but win. We are winners, y'all. We ain't losers. We have overcome by the blood. And remember this, there is no remittance, no remission of sin without the blood of Christ. We have diminished the blood down to being on our level, but that blood is so powerful. When he was shedding that blood on Calvary for us, you was on his mind. Get that picture in your head. Don't let the devil take that picture out. While he was on that cross, you was on his mind. He was doing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
He sacrificed God, Abba, which is daddy, turning his head from on that cross. Let me tell you how you can prove what I'm saying. He said, where? Thou hast forsaken me. Them few minutes that he was so full of your sin, and it's also in Psalms chapter 22 as well as in the New Testament when he was crucified.
Yes,
he said, he said, God could not look upon Jesus Christ while he was full of our sin. That's the only time Jesus Christ been without God.
Few
minutes. That was why he sweat big drops of blood. Because he feared the cross, because he knew his purpose was to go back with God. But it was because of that moment. 1 second away from God, y'all, is like an eternity. Can you imagine? I don't want to go to hell for 1 second to find out what it's going to be like down there. I don't need to. No. I don't want to be. To me, I've always preached that wherever God is, that's heaven for me. But I'm here to tell you, if you're in a corner, if you're in a ditch, if you're in the sky, wherever God is, that's heaven for me. I don't need to experience being without God ever to know what it's like. I don't want to, don't need to, don't have no desire to. I mean, once you've tasted that the Lord is good, he's better than life. You know, the Bible in the Psalms, y'all know, say he's better than gold or silver. He's better than breath. He's better than my heart beating in my body. He's better than, glory. Boy, time is gone. It's 7:52 by my clock. But I just, I tell y'all, I am so happy. The word happy means blessed. Blessed means happy. They are synonymous. Blessed are they whose God, who put trust in God. That's the word. Over and over and over all through the Psalms, you know? I mean, blessed is the man that put his trust in the Lord. I'm blessed when I got money. I'm blessed when I ain't got money. I'm blessed when I'm talked about like a dog. I'm blessed when I'm loved like a rose or a flower. I'm blessed because God himself has set us apart for himself. So we are sanctified, set apart, made holy, made righteous, made just. We've been justified. Oh, Lord, don't let me go there. Justified. We've been justified. And now let me share one last thing with y'all these last few minutes. Dr. Hannah came from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. And I want y'all to know 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is how I got the Holy Ghost. How I got the Holy Ghost out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, going on down. The false church I was in, he had told us that you couldn't get the Holy Ghost until you die. Well, I was up at 5 or 6 o'clock one morning because I went home and studied the Word. The Word of God saved me. I mean that with every ounce of my being. I was in a cult, and the Holy Ghost saved me through the Word. And so I was up studying 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And see, the priest, false teacher had told us that you couldn't even get the Holy Ghost until you die. Well, I read this 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, let me read it to you right quick. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you to receive the grace of God in vain. With you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Not is a very important word there. For he said, in an accepted time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. And this is when I got to this, y'all, when I got here, by the Holy, I was reading another version. It said, by the Holy Ghost. This version say, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. And when I got there to that part, I said to my God, the Bible says in Romans 9:10, with the confess with our mouth and believe in my heart. I said, Lord, I don't have this Holy Ghost. And right then and there, that morning, over 40, I was 28 years old. Y'all do the math. 28 years old. 25 years old. right then, at my kitchen table, at the Word, the Holy Ghost came down and glory filled my soul. I was filled right then. So the Word of God will save you. Don't let nobody tell you. I believe there are people in the bush. I believe there are people all over the world who, if they just get a corner piece of the Word of God, a piece of paper, a piece of the Bible that's been taught, I believe they can get saved through. I believe that because I know that's what happened to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I mean, and then when I called that false preacher up and told him that something wonderful had happened to me, they excommunicated me. They threw me out of the church. I told them Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And they said God had sent me a strong delusion and was going to damn me in the last day. I said, well, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I didn't know nothing, but I had just been saved. And I told him, well, all I know is Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and the life. It ain't not a building, not a church, not an organization, but Jesus himself. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, y'all be blessed. I love you. Pray for me. Pray for the body of Christ all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a lady from Dallas. I called her a teacher from Dallas. Miss Dallas, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
God bless you. You got a word for us tonight?
Yes, I have a word for tonight. Again, I'm not going to be long. So
right.
I say I'm not going to be long, but if God comes in and intervenes and it turns out to be a little longer than what I suppose, then I do have a word.
Do it. Preach it. Teach it.
So I'm going to come out of Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 19, and I'm going to start with verse 14 through the 24th verse. And starting with the 14th verse, it says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have bought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away to thy disciples, that they should cast him out.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and water foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this child unto him? And he said, of a child.
Yes.
And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And I'm going to come shortly tonight. And my subject tonight is going to be the faith to believe. Faith will cause what is impossible to become possible if you believe. My key verse is verse 24, when the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I'm gonna talk about this because it's gonna encourage me, and I hope that it encourages someone who is listening. But the situation becomes desperate. Your faith wavers because your focus is on the situation and not on what you believe. Here in the passage, you have a father who has a son that has a dumb spirit identified by the father. And this spirit has been torturing his son since he was a child. And as a parent, when you see your child going through, especially a sickness that seems like there's no help, you become weary as a parent. No parent that I know of is content or happy when their child is sick. And as a parent, you will do anything, just about anything, to see your child out of agony. That's when you become desperate. And sometimes in the process of our faith being tried, we lose hope by what we're physically seeing, which causes us to partly believe or not believe at all. And the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A faith is your confidence, your assurance of what you're believing for without the evidence. I looked it up in the dictionary, and I can't remember which dictionary it was that I looked it up in, but it says, you know, faith is belief that is not based upon proof. That's what faith is.
Belief that is
not based upon proof. And we know that faith is a verb. It takes action. That means whatever we're believing for, whatever we have faith for, we have to have some action behind it. Now, belief is defined as to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something. Only if one believes something can one act purposefully. So here we got the definition of faith and belief. Both of being verbs, both of them being action, means that, you know, you got to put some action behind what you believe. The Bible tells us that God has given every man a measure of faith, just a measure of faith. And it takes us to increase that measure of faith. Why do you need to believe? Well, the Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need faith in order to please God. And when we come to God, we must believe that he is God and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to believe you have to have that faith to say, okay, well, I'm going to take this situation to God, and I'm going to believe that God is going to work this situation out on my behalf. I have to believe that. You know, sometimes, you know, we make God, instead of making our God our first resource, we make him our last resource. And God should always be our first resource. And, you know, the Bible tells us that when faith is tried, when your faith is tried, and I think that this is where we become weary, we become desperate, and we allow the enemy to come and cause us to look in another direction. You know, because when our faith is tried, it works its patience. That means that we're going to have to sit sometimes and wait, you know, without complaining. Wait without being frustrated. Wait without being angry. We're going to have to sometimes wait, because that's how we get that increase in our faith, is because, hey, I'm believing in God for this thing. I'm believing in God. So therefore, it's not, may not happen, you know, right then and there. It may be a space and a time before that thing even come to the forefront, but you have to continue to believe that God is going to allow that thing that you have been praying for, that you have been asking for, that it's going to come to pass. It's going to manifest itself, because the Bible teaches us that God is not a man that he should lie. So therefore, we know that God is not a liar. So therefore, we go before him, and if we believe what we're asking for, if we have the faith to just believe, now the enemy is going to come to cause us to distract us, because life is so full of all sorts of distractions, and sometimes when we are not focused, we don't remain focused on God. We don't remain focused on Christ, just like Peter. When Peter was focused on Christ out there on the water, Peter said, beckon me to come. You know, Jesus told him to come on. You know, but when the wave came, Peter began to look at the wave, and he lost his focus off of Christ. And so therefore, he became fearful. He became afraid, you know, being out there in the water. But the same thing with us at times, you know, we say, okay, I'm going to believe God for this, I'm going to believe God for that. But as soon as distraction comes, and distraction can be anything, it could be the testimony of somebody else, has nothing to do with us. But we can believe that that situation can cause us to be not receive what God has, what we have asked God for. It can be the timetable in which we're asking God to do something for us. You know, it could be paying a bill, and the time is coming up for that bill to be due. But because we don't see God in the midst of working, and we lose because we want to know how God is going to work it out, when God is going to work it out. So therefore, we become a little desperate. So we begin to say, okay, well, if God ain't going to do it, you know, the bill going to be due tomorrow. So therefore, I'm going to have to, you know, do something different. And sometimes what we do in our mind is we already have a plan B in our mind about, you know, okay, well, I'm going to believe God for this. But, you know, if it don't come to pass, I already got a plan B. So plan B going, you know, work itself out. We can't have a plan B when we're going before God and asking God to do something for us. We have to stick with our plan A. We have to believe God enough that God is going to work that thing out. It's going to come to pass. Don't worry about how it's going to come to pass. Don't worry, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, even when we're asking God, like, for a job, you know, we may want a certain type of job. You know, I heard a testimony of an individual that said that that they was believing in God for a job. Well, they already had a job, but they wanted a certain kind of job. So in the process of God blessing them with the job that and the place that they always wanted to work at, in the process, They left one job to go to another job that paid them less. But that job prepared them for the job that they had asked God for. So in the process of that, you know, they were blessed with the job. You know, so, you know, and then a lot of times, you know, speaking of jobs, you know, we're praying and we're asking God. Well, sometimes God is in the back. He's creating that job, you know, and it's a process that goes into play when you know, he's creating, you know. He got the first, you know, cause something to happen at the company to say, okay, so now we need this position to be filled. So, therefore, until that company increases or whatever needs to be reorganized within that company, we need to sit back and be patient and wait. As long as we know that God has paid the bills and we're not hungry, we're not missing out on anything, he's supplying all our need according to his riches and glory, which are in Christ Jesus. So in the process, we have to sit back and wait. And sometimes we have to tell patience, come and have your perfect work in me while God is working things out for me. So you won't get weary. You won't be distracted, you know, in the process, because distractions is going to come. But are you going to give heed to the distraction that's going to come? So the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear word, like I've been asking God for something for my own personal life, and yesterday during in the service, as the pastor was preaching, his third point was reflecting on past provision. And sometimes when we're in the process of waiting, we need to reflect on past provision and see how God worked things out in the past for us. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So there are times when the Holy Spirit would take you back, and he would take you back in reflecting. Okay, you remember that time when you needed this and God did this for you? And you'll find out God was on time with everything. So why wouldn't he be on time when you're in the process of waiting for this thing that you're asking God for? You know, if we would just have the faith to believe and remember that faith will cause what is impossible to become possible if we just believe. If we would just take the word of God when we're in that time of waiting. You know, when we're in that time of waiting, reflect upon the word of God. Take the word of God and read the word of God. If you have to take every scripture that deals with faith, take every scripture and memorize every scripture that deals with faith. When the enemy is trying to come and talk to your mind and tell you that thing is not going to come to pass, that's when you have your ammunition and you take the word of God. And you tell the enemy, you know, what the word of God says concerning your faith. And you will find out that your faith, through each and everything that you go through that requires your faith, you find out if you believe your faith has increased. Because sometimes when we're going through something, and we have to make sure that what we're asking God for, that our motive behind what we're asking God for, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have to check ourselves to make sure that, you know, we're not asking God something because we're coveting what somebody else has. You know, we have to make sure that we're not asking God for something because, you know, you'll find out that God may say, you know, I'm not going to give you that, because you need to check yourself. You know, why do you need that? You know, you have to make sure that you're not asking God for something that you can't afford to have, you know, because, you know, you have to think about the responsibilities of the upkeep and everything behind what you're asking God for. So, again, you know, I just wanted to be have a word that would encourage somebody that maybe going through something, maybe asking God for something, and they may be like on a timetable, and saying, telling God, okay, God, I need this to come. You know, this got to happen by such and such a date. If it don't happen by such and such a date, you know, God, I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do. Or, you know, well, if God don't do it, then I got a plan B. If you got a plan B, don't ask God for it. Go ahead on with your plan B. But if you know that this is what you need from God, because you actually need it from God, then go ahead on with your plan B. And when you go to God, just believe God. Have faith in God. And just if it gets to a time where, you know, you say, okay, God, I'm getting a little weary in my faith, you know, then call that somebody and just tell them, say, you know, I just need, you know, you to touch and agree with me in prayer, because, you know, I'm just believing in God some, and I believe that it's going to come to pass. But right now, you know, my faith, you know, is a little weary, you know. But you want to make sure that you get, you know, that you link up with somebody that's faith is stronger than yours, and that they can minister to you faith, you know, to help boost up your faith. And just believe, you know, just know that faith will cause what is impossible to become possible if you believe. Take the word of God as it is and just keep it, you know, just keep believing in God. And that's all that I have for this evening.
Amen, amen. Well, is anybody on there? Can we talk? 1702, your last four letters. Can we talk? 1702 is your phone number, last four in your phone number. Can we talk?
Hey, Dr. Hunter, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, my brother? How's everything?
Man, I'm doing real good. I'm sorry I was late. Thank you, my sister, for that good word. I caught the ending of it. But great word, Dr. Hunter. Great word.
Amen. Well, we're just trying to press our way in and do what God has told us to do. Amen. Incidentally, this is a man named Gregory Williams, who is a part of what we're doing. We're working together for the revival, this Saturday, August the 25th at 11 to 2, 6400 Winfield Road in Houston, Texas, where we're looking to do a great exploit by God. And so his ministry, what's the name of your ministry, my brother?
It's G Will Talk Ministry, God Will Talk Ministries.
Now, what is that about, sir? What is that about?
Our ministry is restoration. We are called to the ministry of restoring what was lost, what was taken away. We focus more on core issues. Our ministry is geared towards core issues. You know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it myself, Dr. Hunter, I always looked at issues from a surface. And
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like putting a Band-Aid on a wound, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that's what led me to attempt suicide five times in a life of crime and a life of drugs and alcohol, because I was dealing with issues. I was dealing with issues that really was surface.
My God.
But I wasn't getting my core needs met. You know, and I didn't, I didn't start getting my core needs met, Dr. Hunt, until I was 30 years old. So from childhood, with those wounded issues, growing up, I didn't learn how to address the core issues, which was really giving birth to the surface issues. So once I began to address the core issues, Dr. Hunt, I began to see the power of God. I wasn't looking at the power of God, because on the surface I was looking at God, why would you map my life out like this? Because they said that you knew everything was going to happen to me before I was born. So why I couldn't go to college? Why I couldn't be one of the ones that grew up with two parents? Why would you map my life out? Why did you choose this for me? You know, I'm still corner. I'm looking at it from a surface. But I didn't realize that God was building me up for something later. You know, and I tell people all the time, you know, it's a process. You wanna be who God gonna have you to be today, but God is grooming us. Some of us don't get it now. We don't get it. You know, but God is grooming us. So our ministry, Dr. Honey, is geared towards people that's lost, the least, mm-hmm. the last, and the brokenhearted. You know, I'm here to tell somebody that I was homeless February 11, 2002. I was strung out on crack in Third Ward, Houston. But I have not had a drink. I have not had no drugs since February 12, 2002. You know, because I told God, I said, God, if you're real, they say you're real. But right now, I don't really believe that because I'm looking at my conditions. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at where I'm at. If you really love me, then why are you letting me sleep in porta potties on Main Street? Why do I got to beg somebody for a dollar? Why do I got to be hungry? Why do I have to wear the same clothes over and over and over and over and over? Why? What kind of love is this, God? But they say you're real. So if you're real, save me. And I promise you, with the rest of my life, I'll serve you. And that's when I came in encounter with him, Dr. Hunter. In that moment, he said, you had not up until this moment because you asked not. You've been so carnal. You've been so surface-minded until you've been telling me what kind of God I am instead of asking to show what kind of God I am in you. But now that you've asked, now that you've invited me in, I can come in now and I can dine with you. And I can show you why I let you go through all that when you was a child. Now I can show you why you tried to commit suicide 5 times. And the first time they told you that you was going to die because you had lost 90% of your liver. And they had already told your mom and them, go prepare your funeral. But I stepped in. So I need you to understand that I needed you to go through all that so that I could use you for such a time as this. Had I not went through that, Dr. Hunter, it would be kind of hard for us to go out here and have revivals. It would be kind of hard for us to go out here and like you say, tell the untold and reach the unreachables and to do some of the things that we are able to do now. So God has to allow us to go through what we need to go through, but it's not to break us. It's not to hurt us. It's to build us for what he have intentions on later. So our ministry, Dr. Hunter, and this men's conference next month on the 15th, we're going to be talking about 100-plus men on fire for God. What's stopping you from being the best you that you could possibly be? What's stopping you? What is dampening your spirit right now? What is that's causing you to throw in the towel and give up? What is causing you to have all these different suicidal and homicidal thoughts and having to take pills to get up, pills to go to sleep? What is stopping you from being your best you?
My God. Oh, my God, what a man that God is using. And you know, when I met this young man, I met him that day, it was unusual, but God has a way of making people come up to me. It was for God doing it. And we met him. We've been in love ever since. And one thing I would say is the program is, I'm a part of it. I visit, that was on the big deal for the men. 300 men showed up here in Houston, Texas. 300 men gave their testimonies, men on top of men. And so I'm just so happy to have him to come on tonight. I think kind of shocked when I looked and saw his number. But I want to say, God bless you. Also, the women. What about the women, my brother? What about them?
Our women, we just celebrated our second annual women conference. You know, this year we talked, the women talked about who's that in your mirror. You know, who's that in your mirror? But our ministry is about removing the mask. God cannot heal what you will not reveal. What mask are you wearing? For all my life, I've always worn a mask. You know, I had a public, me and a private me. I always exposed the public, but I hid the private. So this second women's conference that just took place in April, it was geared towards who's that in your mirror? Do you really like the person you are? Are you really comfortable with the person that you show us? Or do you cry yourself to sleep at night? Or do you look yourself in the mirror and say things like, I really don't like you? Or I wish I was someone different, not being okay with what God has created us to be. Basically telling God that I know what's best for me. Why did you make me like this here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the women was able to give testimonies about being molested, being raped, being abused, being left to raise kids, multiple kids, you know, and being in positions. But our men's ministry, we also have single fathers. I'm one of them. So we are geared towards those that are hurting. We are geared towards those that are confused because this don't come with a manual. So we need each other. I need you, Dr. Hunter. I need people that I can go to and I can say, you know what, today I'm confused. I'm confused mm-hmm. because I'm trying to do what I believe God has called me to do, but why do every time it seems as though put my best foot forward, something happens? And then I can have somebody that can take me to the word where Paul said that every time I want to do right, every time, every single time, Dr. Hunter, I want to do right. Why does all these evil thoughts come to my mind? Why do I do the things that I don't really want to do? I really don't want to smoke crack no more, but I'm finding myself on the way to the crack house saying, God, please don't let me go there. And I can't find the strength to stop. I find myself going to do all the things that I know I shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why am I doing it? He said, I'm happy you asked. Because it's not you, it's the sin in you. I come for the sin in you. I want the sin in you. Yeah, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. So my mission is to remove. Mm-hmm. That's my mission. My mission is to remove that which is taking you away from me because I don't like the relationship being separated. And all sin does between me and you is separate the kind of love that I want to have with you. So I've come now to take away whatever it is that's separating us. And that's what we do every day, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
You know, we bridging the gap now. We taking it to people that normally wouldn't be able to receive it. But we're not only taking it to them with the word, we're being transparent because people, they don't really care how much you know these days. They want to know how much you care. So we show them how much we care by being transparent with them, by showing them the kind of love that God has for people like me and you that was out there selling drugs. That was I stole from my mama. The Bible say honor your father and mother, but I stole from my mama.
My God.
But God has restored our relationship. Now he's put me in a place so I can take care of her for the rest of her life. As long as her eyes open, I'm going to take care of her. Why? Because she took care of me, and I owe her that.
Question. I know this much. I will say this much, but I've found a man of substance. I found a man that loves God. And I want to let it be known to everybody. He's going to be a married man in next year. He's going to get married, and I'm so glad to hear that. He said a single parent. But also, I want somebody, anybody got a question they want to ask? Anybody got a question they want to ask? A statement they want to make? Anybody.
I just want to say thank God for you being on tonight, Brother Greg. Bless you. This is love. Hallelujah.
Hey, Princess. How you doing?
I'm blessed.
Yes, you are. You really are. So good to hear your voice.
Amen. Miss Dallas, do you have anything that you got a statement of a word you want to say, Miss Dallas? Are you there?
Jackie, are you still there, Jackie?
Jackie.
I got my phone on.
Okay, you got any questions, statements you want to make? Anything with so far? Anybody? Well, I want to tell you tonight, if nobody has a question or statement, one thing I want to say, what God has been taking me and my brother through and all of us through, all of us has a calling, but it's up to you to make sure your calling is effective. You ain't got to look to the left or to the right. You got to look on what God has done in Christ's name. One thing I've come to understand, and I'm believing this, when I've asked folks, revival, revival, revival. I need you to stay in prayer with me because we're getting ready to do something. God has made a commitment to us. And I like what has been said. When we take, see, we can't go messing around with the world. The world doesn't love us. We got to go get those in the world and convince them to come to know Jesus Christ. One thing I saw when I've been reading the book of John, and I've been reading, and I've been getting so much information that this tonight when I was teaching from John, 1 John 2nd chapter, John spoke to the women. It was a woman he was talking to. So a lot of the women today have declared and decreed that God is R-E-A-L. A lot of women, like you said. And one thing I've come to know about his future wife, I had a chance to meet her, a woman that loves the word, a woman that's not afraid, a woman that we just stay in tune. We in tune each other. One thing I would say before we come to the last of this day, I'm going to ask Miss Dallas, would you take us out in prayer? Miss Dallas?
Yes, sir.
Won't you take us out in prayer? Would you close the program out tonight with prayer? We're honored by you taking us out in prayer. Would you honor us with your presence through prayer?
Sure. Father God, come before your throne, and I thank you, Lord God, for Father God, for life, health, strength, and in activities of our limbs. I thank you, Father God, how you washed over throughout the day, how you kept us, oh Lord God. Father God, I thank you for the things that you are doing, Father God. I ask you, Father God, to bring increase, Father God, to what Dr. Hunter is doing, Father God, concerning the revival. I pray, Father God, that you be glorified and magnified in it, Father God. Father God, I ask you to watch over each and every individual that will be present there, Father God. Father God, I pray, Father God, that everything will be a success, Father God. I pray, Father God, that as we sleep on tonight, Father, that you encamp your angels about us to cover us and protect us, oh Lord God. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God. I pray, Father God, for those that are sick in their bodies, oh Father God. I pray healing, Father God, wholeness. I pray, Father God, restoration, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father God, I thank you, I glorify you, and I magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We walk it by faith and not by sight. I love you, ain't nothing you could do about it. Good night. God
Amen.
Bless you. Amen.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night. God bless you.